Blog Talk Radio.
Fake McBride stands in. He is singled in three at bat. Here's Palmer's pitch to him. Swing and a long drive. Deep right.
Welcome to a hastily thrown together version of the Inside Baseball podcast, guest starring the Baked McBride Baseball League. Tonight, we were inspired to have a show because one of the members of our league, who has been relatively dormant during the offseason, decided to make some big moves today, and hopefully he'll call in and break those down for us a little bit. I'm sure there's some other guys in the league that would like to talk about these maneuvers as well. Maybe they'll give us a ring. I'm going to start by bringing in our first caller this evening and find out who this fella is.
What's going
who
on,
here?
This is Larry.
Hey, what's going on, Larry? What's going on, Larry?
Not much.
Well, did
now,
you
is,
see
is Garrett allowed to call in?
What's that?
Is Garrett allowed to call in today? I know Phil has put a silencer on him for his trolling.
I'm running the show tonight. Phil didn't want to run the show. If Phil wants to run the show and set up the rules as to what people can say and the Gestapo land that, you know, Phil wants to create, then Phil can run the show. I mean, this here is a democracy. So if he wants to have a problem with Garrett running, coming into the show, then he should have ran the show this evening instead of passing it off to me. I don't feel like running it, lazy ass. I mean, seriously.
Hey, I've got no problem with hating on Phil. He was a little bit of a snake to me in our deal that we did, so I've got no problem, you know, with a little bit of hate being thrown his way.
Whoa. A little bit of snake?
Yeah, a little bit of a snake.
I'm not
criticizing you for it. I'm not saying there should be anything done about it, but you have to admit you were a little bit of a snake about it.
All I remember was you offered me a deal,
yeah.
And I thought about it, and then I accepted it. And then before I even knew K-Rod was going to be the closer, I accepted it. And then he ended up being, and that worked out. But I didn't do anything conniving.
Well, let's put it this way. You knew that K-Rod had signed the deal when you clicked accept.
Wait, say that again?
Well, you two clowns are bickering. Let's bring in the other caller, 608 area code. Who we got here?
Oracle.
It's
oh, hey,
Daniel
what's going on, Dan?
What's up?
How we doing, man?
Doing great.
Watching some old Brewer highlight tapes and beating off?
No, I did that all day. Now I'm just recovering.
Oh, okay.
Dude, no doubt.
What the fuck did I do? You always got to talk like that, man.
So basically... You're calling Harry Carey on Phil here, Rob? Is that what I'm going to understand?
Well, no. We had a deal in place for the Tanaka and Broxton deal for JDM. And I made it explicitly clear that if Broxton ever lost the inside track on his closing job, that I was going to rescind the offer. Phil had noticed early in the morning that he accepted that K-Rod had signed a deal and it was likely with Milwaukee. And he was concerned because the final announcement hadn't come through yet on who he signed with, but he knew that our deal was going to expire quickly. So he made me, without letting me know that K-Rod had signed, and I hadn't checked my sports blogs yet, that I was standing by my offer. He said yes. He waited until he felt comfortable that it was with Milwaukee, and then he clicked accept. I thought it was a little bit of a snake move that he didn't say, hey, K-Rod signed some other day. Let's wait and see what happens. No, he just kind of snaked it, but that's fine. It's all fair and love and war. You know, it's fantasy baseball. You know, it's all good. But it's a little bit of a snake move. He has to admit that. He knew what he was doing.
Well, you said that you were going to rescind the offer at any point. You said, I have the right to rescind the offer at any point, which, of course, you do. You're the one who offered it. But you said, if I get a whiff that Broxton's not going to be the closer, And you said that, like, days before. And
yes.
I couldn't believe that you didn't already have a whiff. I mean, it's pretty obvious that K-Rod was likely to go back. And, I mean, it wasn't certain. But you saw, if you read anything, that the owner of the Brewers was negotiating with Boris himself. So I really thought you were just going to put the pieces together more quickly than not. And I just tried to hold out as long as possible in case he did sign. And then I actually accepted it before I even knew, and because I knew that it was going to expire. And if it did expire, and then I saw that he signed, and then you saw that, you probably wouldn't accept it if I reoffered it.
Correct.
So I just decided to take it and roll the dice.
Did you attempt, and would you, or and Phil, would you have given up K-Rod if you would have asked him in addition? Like the multi-closer deals that have been going on this season. If you would have asked Rob, would you have offered that as part of the deal? Would you have thrown in K-Rod?
He did ask me that, and I said I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have done that because I wanted to obviously, you know, keep a $6 closer if possible, and I had a good feeling he was going to close somewhere. So I wouldn't have done that.
No,
that's actually a deal.
Yeah, I would say yeah. I mean, it's on me, but I thought it violated the spirit of the trade, considering how open in the negotiation I was with my intentions. But like I said, it's not on him necessarily, but you know, it was a little bit of a snake move.
Well, I don't know. I feel like if you wouldn't have booed me for like 1,000 hours on Facebook, I maybe would have. Maybe I would have said something differently. But in the same token, it's like if someone offers you a trade for a guy who's likely going to be a setup guy, it's not like, you know, this is the bake. It's not like I'm going to say, oh, hey, look, did you see that K-Rod's probably going to take his spot? Maybe you should rescind that. Like, of course I'm not going to do that. But, you know, I did accept it. I mean, I'm trying to get better. So I didn't feel like I did anything like – you know, intentionally to deceive you or to do anything. I mean, I felt like it was more on you, and then I just accepted it, and then it just happened to maybe not work out like you wanted, but I still feel like I didn't intentionally try to, you know, do anything. But it is the bake, and you said that to me, so I mean it's you know, it's whatever. I mean, you booed me for an hour on Facebook while I was at school, so
it wasn't really an hour, and you were on Facebook at school, so it is your own, you know, sort of your own doing.
It was my planning, but you know.
And it's the same thing can be sent right back to you. This is the bake, Phil. You can't be offended by being booed for an hour.
Well done. Yeah, that's well said. Well, let's talk about Garrett's trade.
Well, has everybody seen it, first of all? Or trades, plural?
Yeah, they were massive.
Yeah, I'm trying to wrap my head around exactly what he got and now has. There's like 30 people involved.
Well, the comedy of it is we went to the Chandler event today, and about a half an hour into the event, he looks over at me and says, I'm going to complete 4 trades by the end of this seminar. So old Garrett is back. If there's any questioning whether or not crazy Garrett has toned it down or – you know, was taking this off season off, that it was clear indication that while listening to people talk about the stuff that we came to listen to, Garrett was wildly working over his iPhone, attempting to make as many trades as possible, also harassing me to make a deal with him at the same time.
What was he trying to offer you?
He's been trying to get Evan Gattis for weeks. So
yeah.
He was basically offering a couple of pieces that he acquired in the jumbo deal today, because I've said all along, I'll trade Evan Gattis if you give me 2 guys that I want to keep. And he was offering 2 guys that I was interested in keeping, but one of them I was kind of hedging on a little bit. So I'm not completely sold, and I think I'm probably wrong, and I'm being reluctant for no reason. But
who were they?
Yeah, I mean, he was trying to get me to do that.
Who were the guys?
He offered me Jake DeGrom and Dalton Pompey.
I don't know about
that. Yeah, I feel like you could do it better than that.
Yeah.
And I do too. And that's, I mean, and a little bit of it came from the fact that the Michael Saunders information came out today where he's not out until the All-Star break. He's out for a couple of weeks. So it's not completely locked in my mind that Pompey is going to have an extremely long leash. Now, if Saunders is out for a while, they need two outfielders, so they are going to give him a long leash. So, and he can fly, and that's what I'm looking for, cheap speed. But it's, I mean, if playing time's in question, no thank you. I'll keep Gattis and hope he hits many home runs into that stupid train.
That Saunders thing was weird because a torn meniscus, I mean, that's pretty well known to only be about a month, and they just like automatically said he's out for like 4 months. I thought that was a little premature, so I wasn't actually that surprised. I was kind of wondering why he was going to be out so long. It's just a meniscus. I mean, Victor and lots of other guys are only going about a month, so I thought that was kind of surprising, actually.
I think they thought initially what he had done was worse than what it was, and yeah, I mean, you never know until you actually get in there and look. I think that had something to do with it. But, yeah, I was a little surprised, too. It seemed strange, but,
well,
I mean, they're
no
all different diagnoses.
Yeah. If there's no ligament damage, that seems, like, premature. But I guess if the whole meniscus has to be removed, that's a bigger deal than just repaired. Because I've done that before.
Yeah.
And, if it's got to be removed, which it didn't, I think only half of it had to be repaired. So, anyway, who cares?
Well, in regards to the first trade, and I'll just recap it quickly for anyone who hasn't really looked at it yet. Garrett sends Anthony Rendon and Archie Bradley to Powell for Nolan Arenado, Dalton Pompey, Kenny Vargas, Mark Trumbo, and Jake DeGrom. I understand what Powell was doing here. And as I've already established, Garrett's a madman, so things are things. But, I mean, he has a pretty good keeper list, and he likes Rendon better than Arenado. Same price, and I'm inclined to agree with him. And he essentially traded away a bunch of guys on the back end of this deal for the slight upgrade that he wasn't planning on keeping. So I can see it from his side. And what was everyone else's take on this first trade?
Yeah, it's one of those where you send, four quarters for a dollar. And usually in this situation, especially in the off season, you like to be the guy getting the dollar, but obviously Garrett had a bigger con in mind, or bigger picture, I should say, when he made this deal.
Yeah, I think so. But I think it was also, I mean, he told me this morning when we were talking about it that he didn't feel like anything. He didn't feel like he had eight keepers. He had a really good list of, at the top, but as far as rounding it out. So he was looking to add a little bit of depth, but of course, in classic Garrett form, when he gets that depth, he can only wait about 15 minutes before making another move. So, like I said, he's back. So, I mean, and speaking of back, the other trade that he performed was he sent many of the players that he had just acquired, and Manny Machado, Matt Adams, Byron Buxton, Ryan Rua, Kenny Vargas, Mark Trumbo, and Wei-Yin Chen to a person that I wasn't entirely sure was alive until today, Andrew McCutchen. So, I mean, they must have put away the buffet trays wherever Shore was at so he didn't have anything else to do because he accepted that trade extremely fast. Like, I mean, I saw Garrett send it, and like 5 minutes later I had an acceptance in there. But we've got a couple more callers here. We'll bring those in now. 317, who we got here?
Free Kenny.
What's up, Kenneth?
Hanging out.
Hanging out. No Tinder hits tonight?
No, I had a busy day today. I've been up and working since 5 a.m., so.
On work
six, or Tinder? 614, we got another one in here.
That should be Garrett.
Hey, what's going
Garrett?
On?
You there? What's up
yes,
there,
sir.
Chief? We've been making fun of you. I was waiting for your arrival.
What's up, Trick?
Sorry, I had to walk the dogs.
I'm also very disappointed I didn't share this story with everyone else that Garrett couldn't close the deal today when talking to Ron Chandler, that we were going to have Ron Chandler pulled up a sign that I had created that said "The Matrix blows," and we were going to take a picture of it. But he couldn't seal the deal.
No.
So.
That would have been really pretty sweet.
I personally thought that was an excellent idea, but you know, I didn't have the fortitude to pull it off either. But Garrett went up there and made a passing attempt at it and didn't seal the deal. I figured I'd send the salesman in to try to get that done for us, and
that
would have
been the new
image.
That would have been the new image on my ESPN logo for my team settings.
Oh, that would have been the banner. That would have been the banner on the on the bake page, dude. Don't kid yourself. That would have gone up immediately.
Oh man.
So
did I like miss a bunch of deals today or something?
Well, Garrett
there
made
a couple
of big ones.
Garrett's back.
Garrett, you want the floor?
Is this essentially, now maybe I'm oversimplifying this, but pull me if I'm wrong, but is essentially, did he just trade Rendon for McCutcheon?
No, that would be an oversimplification. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really wanted to simplify it.
I think that's oversimplifying, yeah.
Okay.
If you wanted to simplify it, it would be Rendon, Matt Adams, and Manny Machado. For Arenado, McCutcheon, and spare parts.
So you still have DeGrom, or do you give him to Short?
No, I've got DeGrom. I mean, I'm considering him a spare part because he's a pitcher.
Yeah, you hate pitchers.
You do realize that half of our scoring comes from pitchers, don't you, Garrett?
I just hate him.
Well, I mean, it seems kind of foolish to, you know, dismiss half of the scoring categories because you dislike them.
Pitchers blow.
I'm not dismissing half the categories. In fact, I spent maybe more than anybody in the draft on pitching, actually dollars in the draft. I just like to keep hitting going into the
Jim
draft.
Johnson.
I'm more than willing to spend $100 on my pitching draft.
Jim Johnson.
I hate closes.
Hey guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just found some very interesting breaking fucking news from yesterday. Charlie Blackman.
Not just breaking news.
This is hardcore stuff. Charlie Blackman is on track to serve as the regular center fielder for the Rockies in 2015. MLB.com's Thomas Harding reports. Shockingly,
that guy is an unreliable source.
With Drew Stubbs.
He's going to platoon.
It's only a matter of time. Stubbs will take that job back.
Yeah.
Drew Stubbs is a pimp.
Jimmy,
we
got off your list
on my team.
Drew Stubbs is a sensation. He will not be denied.
Dude, if I could somehow fit Charlie Blackman and Drew Stubbs into the same lineup spot and count all of their stats, I would have like a 25. I mean, I would have Carlos Gonzalez like 8 years ago when he was the man.
Or Carlos Gonzalez this year. Okay.
Dude, he's going to be worth way more this year.
I mean, at least $60 of value there. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I said at least. I'm giving room for growth. I mean, come on. Just kind
of
set the
field. Speaking of room for growth, how about Will Venable being a piece of shit?
He blows.
Since forever.
You guys awful.
So, Garrett?
Yo.
Do you want to talk about your trades today, or do you want to let Kenny talk about random players with no reason at all behind it?
I will say this. Kenny loves his list and wants to make love with all of the players on it, no matter who's on it. But, the trades, I was just basically, like I said, it was, you know, do I want to take on $10 more in salary and McCutcheon and Arenado less? Rendon, Matt Adams, and Manny Machado. And I really wanted to clear up a corner spot, which that accomplished. I take on $10 more of salary, so it puts me at 118, I believe, 119. And I just think top 10 guys are really hard to come by. Not that Rendon can't possibly be that, but I think there was a huge drop-off between Arenado and Rendon, but we'll see. So, yeah, I mean, I saw what you were doing today. I don't really know why Shore did what he did, but, I mean, because many of the guys, well, you know, he got distracted by the dinner bell and pushed accept. I mean, that's
as soon as I was talking with you, Susie, because I was picking Susie's brain about Gattis, and there's still an offer out there for Gattis. And I told him my goal was to complete 3 trades before the end of, you know, the fantasy baseball clinic. So, you know, all that being said, I started texting Shore, just like, hey, what would it take? And he just said I needed quite a few keepable pieces. And I asked him about Machado, and I asked about Adams. He's like, I need more. And, you know, you throw enough smoke and mirrors in there, Kenny Vargas and a couple other guys, and there you go.
How is a guy named Kinney's not on the Kinney's?
I think there's more than one of those that exist.
Well, Kenny Vargas is fat, so that might have been what attracted Shore to him.
You know what, though? I'd be interested to see what... I'd be interested to see what the rest of you guys think. Cause, I mean, I've talked to quite a few, like, how much value Andrew McCutchen really carries, because it was not... I mean, it took me a long time to decide on where to kind of go with the whole Rendon for guys, try to get McCutchen, because I wasn't really sure on his value.
See, I don't look at it the same way that you look at it. I look at it as how much of a downgrade you took from Rendon to Arenado. And if it's not that much, then the rest of the stuff is almost pointless to me, because I've told you before, I didn't think keeping Machado was a great idea. Then, I mean, your list is better than it was before. So, I mean, that's the end game. And then you now have another top 10 player in your lineup, and you didn't have to give up an elite player to get him. Because you didn't.
Well, good then. Thanks. I feel better.
Yeah. I talked to Shore earlier in the offseason. I inquired about Kutch, and he just said, he basically said that his list sucks, which is definitely, definitely true, and that he needs like 4 or 5 pieces. So I think that's why he's attracted to Garrett's offer, because he had just a lot of pieces. You know, they might not all be amazing, but Garrett was able to give him multiple pieces for one. So I think that's probably why he did it.
Didn't see it on there, but also included was a large case of zebra cakes, and that put him over the top.
It took a Giordano deep dish. Don't fool yourself, too.
I'm impressed with what you did, because I basically felt like you didn't really give up anybody from the deal with Powell that actually has any value when you made the deal with Shore, because I mean maybe Kenny Vargas, but I mean you're upgrading with the guys you brought back to replace Machado and Adams. I mean, and then you added on back end guys that you just kept.
Yeah, so a lot of moves. I think that Machado, Vargas, and Adams carry good value, that they're good keepers, that they would make a lot of people's lists. And then the other guys were just smoke and mirrors. But, yeah, I mean, I guess I view Arenado as a more of a steeper drop-off from Rendon for 2 reasons. One, I think Rendon's better, and 2, he's a second baseman.
I think second baseman as a whole is deeper than third base. So, I mean, that doesn't really matter to me. So,
but, yeah. But, yeah, no, I liked it. When the dust settled, I liked it. I don't like being as expensive as I am, but I've got some production to show for it, which is good.
Now I hope Manny Machado hits, like, 30 home runs and drives in 120 so I can mock you about it all year long.
I didn't
believe you gave up. You gave up. And why does anybody want Mark Trumbo? Can anyone explain that to me?
$21 Mark Trumbo.
Why does anybody want that? Can someone explain that to me? What?
I mean, he could be. He's probably going to hit for better average than Chris Carter. He got just as good as power.
Yeah, but he's $21.
That's true.
And he's going to hit 200.
He'll hit better than that.
Might as well just save your cash and buy Mark Reynolds.
I don't know if it's that bad, his batting average. If I gave you Mark Reynolds plus 25, would you take that bet? Like, I think he's going to hit 25.
Oh, and batting average? I think I'm probably exaggerating a little bit, but, I mean, we're splitting hairs. I think it's highly conceivable he could hit 230. I mean, woo, big deal.
But there's not many guys that you can pencil in for around 30. I mean, there's not that many of them anymore.
That's fine, but I mean, I agree with you. But there's also a lot of guys in the league that will hit 20 to 25 and not be a batting average drag while they do it.
Right.
And not cost you $21 in the process. I just don't think it's a very good keep.
I think a better comp would be Jay Bruce.
I don't know if I'll buy that, but okay.
Do you think Jay Bruce hits for more average than Trumbo?
I'm saying Jay Bruce back in his, you know, in his Jay Bruce days is probably about the same player as Mark Trumbo is now.
If you offered me the option of taking Jay Bruce or Mark Trumbo and said the guy that you take is $21, I don't even hesitate in taking Jay Bruce.
Really?
I don't blink.
Okay.
No, no way. That's right. Yeah.
I don't know how everybody else feels, but that's my take on it.
I think you need
the choice.
I don't feel strongly one way or the other, but I don't think it's necessarily that one-sided.
I would love to keep Jay Bruce going into next season at $20.
Oh, yeah. I'd be all over that.
I mean, I drafted him for how much? $35? That worked out really well for him this past season.
A lot. He did extremely well.
So that'll be the last time I ever tell Phil that I'm getting someone at all costs, because I believe
he didn't tell me that.
He was the sole bidder after 30.
Why did you do that? That's just dumb.
I just like talking fantasy baseball. It slipped.
Yeah, you do. At your own peril.
Hey, I spent 29 on Cliff Lee. That worked out pretty nice.
Phil, was Jay Bruce one of the guys that was one of your quote-unquote big targets last year?
To me? I don't know. I don't know. He kind of was, I guess. I guess I'm glad it didn't work out. Altuve was a big target. That worked out.
Wow.
Hey, Dan, you want to make a trade?
Hey, no, Adam!
Wait, who is that asking me? It actually doesn't matter. Yeah.
Zeus. I'd like to know if you want to make a trade, Dan. I feel like you're being left out, and I just want to try to include you in league activity. Let's make a trade, Dan.
Well, why do you think Garrett's been trying to trade for Evan Gattis for the last couple of weeks?
Seuss, if you want to get Dan a trade, you just got to deal me Gattis.
See, but I don't want to do that. I want to benefit from it. I want to benefit from torturing Dan. It's fun.
Oh, man. I'd
have to look back and see what our last tentative offer was before I don't even know if food was better between you and Garrett. I can't really remember.
Mine was better because I'm not asking for control. Basically, to catch everybody up to speed, if you're not, both Seuss and I have made offers to Schneider, including Gattis, for essentially post-draft dollars, where Schneider would send us $17 in players with a max of two, or in Susie's case, three players post-draft for Evan Gattis.
Well, fuck, I'd do that.
Now, the caveat with Susie's is Susie would want to control the top that you'd want to control Dan during the draft, or that would just make the deal post draft.
I want Dan to be my monkey. Is basically what I want. All right.
I want to see it happen so bad.
And I just want to make a trade. Whatever it takes.
Yes. Are dogs barking back and forth at one another?
Yeah, Rudy literally hears whose ever dog that is, and he just is
chirping.
Yeah,
that's mine. My idiot dog.
Is the lion, startling it?
No, I don't know what's going on. It's just barking for the hell of it. Just yapping for no reason. So,
my dog shit in my hallway earlier.
You should stop doing that. Go to the bathroom, dude.
I couldn't even yell at him because he was in the laundry room for 14 hours today. So I was just like, okay, dude, you owed me that.
Well, exactly. That's what that's what the dog thinks of you, dude. He's going to shit right here. Yeah. So now that you've gotten your feet wet again, Gary, you're just going to make more trades now and make my life a living hell because I can't keep up with your roster?
I mean, no, because it's not like I have a ton of depth to work with. And, last season was a bit of an anomaly. I was trying to do a lot of things.
What did you just say?
A monopoly?
Anomaly. I was trying to skirt the system of the must-keeps, and it didn't work out. The commissioner dropped the hammer on me right before I could complete, the masterpiece.
Well, that's what you get for being a rule follower, Garrett.
I'm guessing that Pompey and DeGroom will probably go to somebody for Evan Gattis.
They did a thing. They did an exercise at the fantasy baseball thing that we went to today, where they basically gave us blind resumes and they didn't tell us who the players were. And I think it would have been fascinating if Laird would have been there, because like when they were trying to make us bid on players, I mean he would have bid like $60 on every guy. It would have skewed the perspective. I mean, it would have skewed the exercise completely. I think it would have been awesome.
Throwing shade. Keep throwing shade.
Absolutely, dude.
Lucy, I don't know if you guys talked about that.
What's that?
I was just going to say, I don't know if you've talked about that at all, but it was really interesting. What they did is they put, trends up of the top 45 players or whatever it was. And so we had to project blindly what we thought the dollar value would be worth of those players. If you guys had to guess of the top 45 players, who finished last in our blind projections, who do you think it would be?
I don't think I understand the question.
Well, basically what they did, what it was they put up a fake player name, an age range of that player, and the dollar value that player has produced for the last 3 years.
Okay.
And you had to look at that data and say, how much will this guy produce this year? So, for example, they would throw up, player between ages 25 and 29, values of $32 in 2012, $36 in 2013, and $28 in 2014. And only having those data points, you were expected to say, this is what this guy is worth. So no preconceived notions over what the player was or all this other stuff. And they essentially did this for the consensus top 45 players in the game.
Okay.
With no names. And then after it was over, they listed in order what we thought, like where the final bid went out on those guys, and they ranked them 1 through 45. And what Garrett's asking is, of the top 45 players with just that information, who finished last?
That's interesting.
It's a guy that is a consensus top 10 to top 15 guy, and you finish last in this exercise.
Okay, let me look at my sheet here.
Oh, God, don't look at your show. Don't look at your show.
Is it a hitter or pitcher?
It is a hitter.
It's obviously Steven Souza.
I'm going to say Yasiel Puig.
Nope.
Well, I guess if he said last 3 years or last 4 years, so I guess he wouldn't really count for that.
If they didn't have 3 years of data, it only showed what they had. All of the top. What's that?
I think Puig was on there. It just showed a zero for 2012.
Well, it would, like, for Abreu, it just had the 1 year.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
was
with that, that's...
Hunter Pence?
No.
I'll say Troy Tulowitzki.
No.
That's a good guess. No.
Yeah, it is a good guess.
Yeah,
the correct answer is Edwin Encarnacion.
Really?
Yep.
I thought it was Bryce Harper. Edwin Encarnacion was low. I thought it was Bryce Harper who was last.
Oh, yeah, Harper was last. I'm sorry, I forgot him.
Yeah, so Encarnacion was close to the bottom two, though, which was really bizarre.
My next guess was Juan Pierre.
You took into account their age, but then
like, when you looked at the profile, last year he was hurt, so he didn't post a giant number. The year before, he posted a big number. There was a drop-off, and he fell into the age bracket because he's a little bit older. That gives you a little bit of pause about him being able to improve upon it. So, like I said, if you look at it just completely blind with no names and just those small pieces of data, it was an interesting exercise. I'll give it that. There's no doubt about it. And pitchers finished much higher on the list than they do in real life. Because there's no difference on the sheets. It's just value numbers.
They do produce half the stats.
How many home runs has he hit?
At no point when Cargo's slide went up was there any reference to $60 or $70 of value. I was astonished. I didn't know how to react.
Because
I was trying. I was doing a pretty good. I was doing a pretty good job of figuring them out, wasn't I, Garrett?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, but I got lost. I never guessed Cargo because I never saw a 70 on the board. I didn't see it. So there was no tip off. I didn't know what to do.
Well, how far do they go back though?
The last 3 years.
Do they go back to 2010?
No. I would have thought one of those years he would have produced at least $60 of value. Come on. Seriously. It's Cargo.
He's
a picture of health and productivity. It's the perfect package.
Well, before last year, he never saw less than 436 play appearances in a season that he played.
Picture of health and productivity. Doesn't even know what the DL looks like.
Relatively productive in his time until last year, though.
Health grade of A+.
He was before last year. He was one of those guys that he always played 120 games, but always ended up on the DL. But guys like, what's his name, another from ESPN, Carabello, sort of like those guys because in the 120 games, he'd go 20-20 or 25-25, and then you'd get whatever stats from the last 40 games of whoever else you have plugging in his place. And between those two, you might end up with a 30-30 player.
No sarcasm. What would he have to do this season for you to sour on him?
Well, for example, if he were to go like we normally did in his career before last year and that's play about 125 games and go 20-20, I wouldn't keep him. I wouldn't keep him, no. So I would say he needs to do better than what he's been doing.
Okay.
Hey,
so what
I,
else do you want? What else? Yeah.
I want to ask a question. I mean, this Schmidt defriended me pretty quickly today. I was a bit shocked. It was a very cordial conversation, as Laird was witness to. I thought, I mean, Laird, did you think there was any foul play there?
No, I think what he's probably upset about, and similar to what Jimmy was upset about with my deal with Phil, and I think Jimmy's got more of a gripe than maybe even Paul does on this, is that Paul thought maybe he was making a better offer and that you didn't let that conversation go through fruition. But that's just me speculating. I haven't talked to Paul today, so I don't know.
Lucky you.
Paul wants to give me a bunch of pitching for hitting. You guys know how I feel about that. And then he got upset because he knows I like Kluber and Betances. So we're no longer friends on Facebook.
He never overreacts. He just never blows a lid. Dude,
send him my best.
Whoa. You know what? I got a really good example for you guys. I want to read you just a highlight from a message he sent me the other day. I read it to my wife, and she said, "What's wrong with that guy?" This is what he said. He said, well, you guys keep talking, I'll have to look it up. Oh, here it is. We're talking about JDM and Charlie Blackman, and he said, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, Blackman and JDM have these similar stats, whatever. And he goes, he said, that's what you said, right? Home runs are equal? So fucking bet it, you mealy-mouthed bitch. Are you just going to keep talking out of your ass? I was like, what? That was like two sentences in. I said, I don't really understand what's going on. He goes, you're just as prejudiced against him as he said. So fucking bullshit. I was like, wait a second. I literally haven't said, like, two things. But Kaylin, my wife, wanted to know what's a mealy-mouthed bitch looks like.
It's one of the false serve insults is what it is.
But anyway, Paul never overreacts. He's totally normal, totally fine.
Every league needs a villain.
His middle name is Even Keel. That's how I would best describe him, just as even keel as possible.
I think we, just to help us all out, he should constantly have a field sobriety test on him. And then we can ask for a reading. How drunk are you? That's usually, that's what up his anger is when he's been drinking. So if you know that going in, then you at least would have the expectation for the conversation that you're about to have. So at any point in time, you can just say, hey, Paul, take the test. And then you get the reading back, and then you know how to proceed. I think this would be helpful to us all. So,
and
well,
we had,
I think we're about to get booted off this installment of the Inside Baseball podcast, so I believe we'll wrap it up for the evening and enjoy this fun at some other time.
All right,
gentlemen.